My name's Brendan. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 25th, 2011. I have a sponsor who I have an active relationship with. I sponsor other men. And most importantly, I have a home group, which is the Trolley Square Literature Group of Wilmington, Delaware. We are in District 12 of Area 12. We're not a huge group, but we're a group of alcoholics who love the literature, and we try to stay in the middle of it at all times. And it might not be the best group, but it's my home group where I've learned to grow in understanding and effectiveness and practice these principles to the best of my affairs. I want to thank the district, District 6, for having me, and the literature committee. It's always an honor and a privilege to do anything for AA. And I'm still going through. I mean, I've talked about stuff a lot of times in AA, but I still get nervous every time. So hopefully, somewhere along the lines, myself will start to slide away, and God will just take the wheel. I asked him before for guidance, and God willing, he'll do what he needs to do through me. And usually I tell a funny joke, but I didn't have a good funny joke, so that's what you're gonna have to top off with. I was gonna actually The best one I had, I already shared before the meeting. I mean, we were talking, and I wasn't able to bring up the points of like for the screen sharing, because it's not my computer, it's my girlfriend's computer, because my computer died, and it was a lack of power, and it presented a great dilemma. And but that's the best joke I got. So hopefully I've seen a couple people laugh, so that brings a little more ease and comfort to me. You guys didn't come here to hear jokes, though. You heard to came to hear about the traditions, and I don't think there's anything more important right now in my life. Obviously carrying this message and being active in my home group and stuff like that, and trying to be a good AA, but trying my best to stay in line with these traditions, I find is over the years become more and more of a vital thing. Because, like we were talking about before the meeting, I don't know how long God's going to need us for. But I know that as long as God needs us, I'm supposed to show up, and I want to do my best to try to keep this thing together and not be any kind of point of conflict or anything in our unity. And all the traditions are about unity, about keeping us together. And I'm sure you've heard different people talk before, and that first tradition's a statement. Must stay together, or most of us will surely die. And then the rest of the traditions present us actions or things we could sacrifice to ensure that unity. And I was gonna read through the tradition 11 in the long form, but you guys already did it, so you took the fire out of me with that one. But I'm gonna do it anyway, because hey, why not, right? And that's what we're talking about. So tradition 11, I always go to the long form. The short form's great, it has its purpose, but as with anything, the long form, it's more explicit, just like it talks about in the description of the traditions. And in the long form, it says our relations with the general public should be characterized by personal anonymity. Okay. We think we ought to avoid sensational advertising, which I'm going to touch a little bit on sensational advertising, but not too much, because there's a lot more in there that I want to get to. And there's the pamphlet that we're going to look at a little more. Bear with me. Our names and pictures as AA members ought not be broadcast, filmed publicly, or publicly printed. Our public relations should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. There is never need to praise ourselves. We feel it better to let our friends recommend us. And when I got sober, I wanted to praise myself a whole lot. I don't know about you. And in that funny way, ego restores itself real quick. I come in here with the gift of desperation, you know, beat into a state of reasonableness. I'll do anything, whatever, whatever. And then after a little while, I'm like, look at all I've done. And you know what? I should let everybody know about how great this thing is. Because, you know, and all in good intentions, right? And there's the old saying, you know, the road to hell is paved in good intentions. And, you know, to kind of drift towards the literature that's kind of being focused, you know, the Understanding of Anonymity pamphlet. When you first read it, and if you go on, if you're reading along in Understanding Anonymity on page 5, you know, it's pretty much the intro to it. And the when you're coming down, it's like that second full paragraph that says, if we look at the history of AA, from its beginning in 1935 until now, it is clear that anonymity serves two different yet equally vital functions. All right, so, well, first, let's look at the history in AA, right? You know, I've talked to guys before, and, you know, I love when I'm talking to another alcoholic in a meeting, and they're not a big fan of the traditions, right? And they say, oh, all that stuff came about when Bill was going through a depression, so it can't really be trusted. You know, he was doing the 12 and 12, and that is, you know, far from the truth, right? The first to talk about it is in the foreword to the first edition. And if you're looking in a fourth edition big book, right, and you look on XIII, right, on that page of the foreword to the first edition, all the way down, you know, just about, it says, when writing or speaking publicly about alcoholism, we urge each of our fellowship to omit his personal name, designating himself instead as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Very earnestly, we ask the press also to observe this request, for otherwise we shall be greatly handicapped. And, you know, the early understanding of anonymity, and the best I've come to understand it is, you know, hey, the guys had really grandiose ideas early on. I mean, when they sent that book out, they were sure people were going to be beating down their doors. They weren't going to be able to go to work. I mean, people were just going to be, you know, all over them trying to get at AA and try to find out this message. And of course, if you look at AA history, that was far from the truth. You know, our growth and the spreading of our message and everything was very slow, which I think was good for us. Too much would have probably just tore us under real quick. And the idea of where that comes from, right? You know, first there's that, right? But then Bill in Pass It On, he also goes from his experience too, right? And in Pass It On, when Bill's talking about some of the reasons why he separated from the Oxford group, right? On page, 172. He says, you know, in the paragraph right under one, says the principle of aggressive evangelism, so prominent as an Oxford group attitude, had to be dropped in order to get any result with alcoholics. Experience showed that this principle, which may have been absolutely vital to the success of Oxford group, would seldom touch neurotics of our hue. Right. And you know, Bill knew a lot about alcoholics, and all the first, you know, members of Alcoholics Anonymous knew about us. You know, I'm always looking for an out. I mean, as an alcoholic, I'm always looking for out. I'm looking for some reason why I don't got to take this thing that you're offering. You know, it's the same reason why, you know, I'm a firm believer why you got the doctor's opinion before Bill's story, right? You know, because if you just book Bill's story as the lead, I'm going to think it's just some salesman trying to sell a book, right? He does, you know, there's no depth and there's no weight to it. You know, there might be some depth in his story, but there's no weight to it. That's why I need that doctor's opinion early on, right? And the same thing with this principle, right? If you guys came out and you guys were just out and, you know, me in my drunken days, in my last, you know, years of alcoholism, if all I saw was, come to AA now, blah, 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 and there was just people promoting it all over the place and advertising all over and all that stuff. And you know, like, I'd be like, no, I do not need that. No. Right. I'm looking for a way out. And thank God they understood alcoholics well enough to know that we're not going to buy on that stuff. We're not. And, you know, when, you know, the, hold on one second. Let me just get my, there is the point, going back to the, Understanding Anonymity pamphlet. And it is probably the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph down. It says, at the level of press, radio, TV, films, and other media technologies, such as the internet, anonymity stresses the equality in the fellowship of all members by putting the brake on those who might otherwise exploit their AA affiliation to achieve recognition, power, or personal gain. You know, and that, for me, that paragraph hints back at Tradition 6, obviously, the seeking of money, property, prestige, or money, property, authority, whichever, obviously not good, right? But, you know, I see somebody out advertising it and promoting it, I'm not going to feel the same in them. I'm never going to feel good enough. I'm never going to feel connected. And what it does, you know, it says an important word in there. Talks about equality. You know, one thing I love about AA is I don't care how many talks you've done. I don't care how many positions you've held. I don't care whether you were a trustee, a delegate, a GSR, an IGR, or if you've done talks all over the entire United States and the world, you're a drunk. Or should I say an alcoholic, just like me. Some people don't like when I say a drunk. We just joke around and call ourselves drunks in my group. But, you know, and, you know, I need to have that equality because if, I mean, I'm a perfectionist by nature, you know, and my perfectionism comes in the, if I'm not the best, I'm not doing it. You know, and if I feel that there's something I will never be able to achieve or never be, to be equally a part of, I'm not going to do it, you know? So that equality is so important. Now, and you might be like, well, you're going a little way off on, you know, the technical aspects of it, right? But, you know, I think those things are important to say because, you know, everything comes down to, you know, this thing comes from the heart. And that's where the attractive part comes in. I find it more attractive when people are talking to the heart than trying to promote something to me. And, you know, on that pamphlet, it gives a lot of like really important things to look at. You know, it says, when we post text or a blog, we should assume that we're publishing at the public level. When we break our anonymity in these forums, we may inadvertently break the anonymity of others. Now, early on, you know, I was okay with breaking my anonymity, right? You know, I was really okay with being like, oh, you know, look, I'm sober and ready. That's great. Everybody look at me. You know, which is really all it is, you know, it's a look at me thing. You know, I could say, oh, well, I want to make sure that people could see that this thing works, right? And I could dress myself up with that idea as much as I want. But really, you know, I post something online or whatever. I have this funny thing inside of me that keeps looking at how many likes are there. And I'm questioning why the person didn't love it when they only liked it. You know, what's wrong with it? You know, and, you know, I don't do no good with that. So I always got to be ever so vigilant to be mindful about stuff, you know, and you know, not only that, right. You know, it's a funny thing. I remember at one point I was looking for a job and, you know, of course, you know, I'm sober a little while now I'm looking for a job and, you know, things are going good. And then all of a sudden I posted something online and people started posting AA type of stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, what if the person I'm looking for the job for sees it? And you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, and, you know, what if I'm on the other end of that? I remember Billy M one time was talking about how it's not so much the posting, right? But the aggregate of it, right? So what happens, right? You know, just say D post something online, right? And then I go on and, oh, this is fantastic, great, blah, 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 blah. You're such a great AA member. Thank you for being of service to AA and blah, blah. Now, what if D didn't want that stuff on there, right? You know, and I just outed her 100%, you know, and I put her all out there, right? And, you know, I have to be ever so mindful, right? Even if I'm okay with breaking my anonymity, doesn't mean anybody else is. So there's a lot of stuff that comes into play. And you know, in the fourth step, I'm told to be more considerate, right? Because I'm an inconsiderate person. So now it pushes me more and more to try to be considerate of other people. All right. So on page 6 of the Understanding Anonymity pamphlet, it says that funny thing, which kind of goes in with this, right? AA as a whole seeks to ensure that individual members stay as private and protected as they wish, or as open as they wish about belonging to the fellowship. But always, key part, there's always that button there, and it's a big but, right? But always, oh, I lost my place. I should probably have my reading glasses on, but you know, that's inconvenient to me, right? But always with the understanding that anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, films, and other media technologies such as the internet is crucial to our continuing sobriety and growth at both personal and group levels. It's just a lot of compromise or sacrifice, should I say, that has to be done for me. I don't do well with the trying to finagle around traditions. Right. I remember somebody one time, it was in our intergroup meeting, and there was a whole lot of dancing around, and the person had said, well, you know, technically, if we do it like this and do it like that, it's not a tradition break because we're doing this, this, and that. Right. And yeah, maybe. And I just know whenever I'm dancing and I'm playing around, you know, like I talked to my sponsor, I remember about, he's like, if you're dancing around a tradition, it's no bueno. Like, it's no good. It's just not right. You know, anytime I'm trying to finagle stuff or trying to manipulate it, you know, I will be the one ultimately in the long run who suffers because I'm compromising my spiritual principles. And I would never want to do that for AA in any type of way on a grander form, whether it be for my group, for my inner group, for any of those things. And going on from that, where was I? Going down at the bottom of page 6 in the pamphlet, it talks about, as public awareness concerning alcoholism increased, the stigma decreased, and soon some AA members began to publicly acknowledge their affiliation in the media, right? One of the first to do so was a famous ball player whose comeback was so spectacular that the newspapers lavished attention to his successful struggle against alcohol. Believing that he could help AA by revealing his membership, he discussed it openly. Even the founders of AA proved his actions simply because they had not yet experienced the cost of such publicity. Hammered out on anvils of experience, right? I love nowadays, you know, I mean, I see it all the time, the people online. And you know what? I try not to be too rigid, and I try not to be too, like, attacking of them. Because I see it, and all of a sudden, my spidey senses go up. My AA police thing comes on, and... Well, right, I want to come and get them, right? And I know I have to be ever so mindful about it, but you know, I hear guys all the time, and they're like, well, what if I could help that one person? What if me disclosing my stuff could help somebody, right? One, you know, a lot of times I love when an alcoholic says that. It's like, weren't you homeless last week? Haven't you been homeless for years? I'm pretty sure you don't have a big popular following of everybody who's come to look at you for your incredible fame, which that one's always chuckle-worthy. But, you know, like, it... There was a guy, he came into our home group years ago. This was probably 10 years ago at this point. And I remember we were going over this tradition, and we talked about the putting the V up, right? Or the number, the numerical thing, or showing the coin, right? And which goes into some other more about tradition 12, which I'm going to try not to dance around too much, but it's hard not to even get a little kind of mishy in there, you know? But, you know, I talked about, and like, I had shared, of course, my experience about, you know, putting it up there is more a self-gratifying thing, like more me self-seeking and everything. He said, and he, of course, shared later on about how he thought he could help somebody and blah, 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 blah. And I remember I watched that guy go in and out and in and out for years and years after that. And he eventually died. And I'm not, believe me, don't get it twisted. I am not saying that he died because of that. And I don't ever want anybody to be like confused, right? Or to mistake what I'm trying to say. But I think about the people who might have seen him, who saw that he posted that on there, who saw that he said those things, you know, about, oh, look, it works and this, and look at my coin and this and this and that. And then they watched him every time he would post afterwards about, I need somebody to send me some money and blah, 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 blah online, you know, or, you know, when he was like, I need a ride out of detox, or I need a ride to detox. Or then later on when they saw his funeral posting on there. AA works, doesn't it? You know, and I'm a fallible human being. I hope I'm never anything more than a human being in my own mind. You know, I'm an alcoholic. I make mistakes, and I wouldn't want any of my mistakes that I make, because I always joke around when I'm doing my talk. I mean, I might have been relieved of alcoholism, of the obsession for alcohol, but I haven't been relieved of being an idiot, right? And any given day, I could be an idiot. And I would never want any of my stupidity to come into play and push someone away, right? And I know that what I have today is but for the grace of God. You know, God's grace stepped in, and the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous guided me to a way of living which is infinitely better than anything I have ever had in my entire life. It is not mine to take credit for. And I cannot, and because I am so flawed, I would not want any of my flaws to dissuade anybody, any new guy who's out there who sees me posting something, to be like, if that's what AA is, I don't want nothing to do with it. I would never want that to be the case, you know? So off a soapbox. Moving on, there's on page 7 in the second full paragraph, it starts off with where is it here? Modern communication flows in ways that are high-tech and relatively open-ended, evolving quickly. Protecting anonymity is a major concern for AA members who are accessing the internet in ever-growing numbers. In stressing the equality of all AA members and unity in the common bond of the recovery from alcoholism, anonymity serves as a spiritual foundation of the fellowship. Right? And so, plain and simple, down to the point, I can't be the super promoter on the internet, on any kind of social media. For me, doesn't work. Maybe somebody, listen, and I remember I see Carrie down there. I remember her one time saying, you know, if you want to recover out loud, that's your fate. Great, you know, and that's fine. Listen, I'm happy and great, you know, all that stuff. But let me be ever so mindful that if I'm going to discuss my recovery, that I do not in any way implicate Alcoholics Anonymous, or if I'm willing to do so, I better be real ready to be perfect in these principles, which ain't none of us are gonna be, right? So, you know, it's too much to take on, and I just got to know that for me. Let me see if I'm, how are we looking at time? 6:30. All right, let me jump over to page 9. Did I hit that part? I think I did, right? All right, whatever. Page 9, and it has that part where it talks about anonymity in the digital age, and it has some of those questions in there, right, which are kind of cool. I'm not going to go through all of them, because there was a lot, but you know, there's the one, and it's the first one under anonymity in the digital age on page 9. It talks about, I maintain an internet website and a personal page on social media site. I also belong to an online meeting. At what level should I protect my anonymity on the internet? Right? Question. All right. Answer. publicly accessible aspects of the internet, such as websites featuring text, graphics, audio, and video, can be considered the same as publishing or broadcasting. Further down, simply put, this means that AAs do not identify themselves as AA members using their full names and or face photos. There is one part, you know, and it, which I'm going to kind of jump over to, where is it? In, which is this? Kind of emphasizes a little more, and I think it's important. In the AA group pamphlet, where it all begins, which is P16, right? On page 8, and it goes into maintaining anonymity at the public level. It talks about, you know, when appearing on radio, television, film, or on the internet as AA members, we refrain from showing our faces or revealing last names. In printed articles, on websites, or email, we are identified by our first names and last initials only. Why I bring that up, I'm currently the chair for Northern Delaware Intergroup, getting ready to rotate out at the end of this year. It's been a long run, and there's part of me that is really glad, but it's been an honor and a privilege to be a service. And because, hey, dude, I'm tired. It's a lot of work. But, you know, one of the things I remember at one point, because we actually just went through this whole period where we're trying to, you know, our lease was coming up. And at the end of this year, actually at the end of January, our lease for our space that we use for the intergroup office is coming up. And I had to start having interactions with the landlords and stuff about that. And, you know, so I remember like hearing at one point, and this went back to stuff about it had to do with delegates and stuff like that with their email years ago about ensuring anonymity. And I remember I had to look at that, you know, all right, you know, again, my email has, you know, first initial last name. And, you know, I mean, do the math. If you're sending an email to somebody, they could pretty easily put together that first initial is my first name and that's my last name, right? So I even areas like that. And I know people are like, well, you're pulling hairs, right? To some extent, right? But, you know, we set up a specific email in the intergroup office, which prior to we did not have. You know, we just had the main office email. And now we have it set up to where we have it for the chairperson. We also have it for corrections, right? Because, you know, corrections is one that you know, they get a lot of interaction, right? But we had to make sure we have an anonymity protected email for them, as well as CPC and PI and all those, which actually transitions pretty well into something I was gonna do later, but I'm gonna hold off. All right, my planning in my brain decided to go one way, and I'm just gonna keep it to the way. I'll get to it. You're probably like, what is he talking about? Don't worry, you'll find out later. So let me go on further with that, away from that. And you know, on what is it, page 10, you know, it goes into the questions again. And what if I appear as an AA member on TV and film or in webcasts or in my picture, or allow my picture to be used in newspaper, magazine, or online publications, but do not give my full name? Is this considered an anonymity break? Quick answer, right? Yes. Right. Now, I love the fact that we have that question in there, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of people in there that are like, well, yeah, what if I do appear on TV and stuff like that? 99.99% of us are not going to appear on TV, right? Again, our grandiose thinking of ourselves. But, you know, anytime, if full face photographs or other equally identifiable photos of AA members who are described as AA members are published or broadcast, even though their full names are not given, these are considered anonymity breaks, right? Again, ever so mindful, right? I love the fact, you know, if you ever get a chance, you know, there's those old infomercials from AA, and they had, you know, the back of somebody's head, or they had them all blacked out and their voice all kind of muffled. They're always really kind of cool. We used to actually in this in our area, we used to have a radio show that went on public broadcasting every, I think it was Sunday night, and they'd have AA members go on and they'd, talk about their experience, and they'd just share their first name, and that was it, right? Because yeah, you don't have the face, but you know that name's thing still has to be on there. So again, vigilance, 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 all the way across. It might be obvious points for people. I mean, obviously, people in here, who are doing a meeting like this, sometimes it feels like, you're preaching to the choir. Like, I know this stuff. I'm a district member. I'm an area member. I'm this, whatever. But I think it's ever so important to keep in mind. And reiterate. More so, I'm reiterating it to myself a lot of times than anybody else when I'm doing this. Because I need to know it. I need to know that I am responsible, right? We love to throw out that one. I'm responsible and anyone, anywhere. We always love to do that. But guess what? I am responsible. I am. And I'm going to get into that, touch on that one a little bit later. So going a little further down, because this is where it gets into the stuff that I really like, and it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. So the in AA comes of age, bringing out the big guns, right? In AA comes of age, page 129, it talks about, let me get it to here. All right, page 129, that first paragraph. Talks about people who symbolize causes, ideas, and fill a deep human need. Fill a deep human need. We of AA do not question that. But we do have to face the fact that being in the public eye is hazardous, especially for us. By temperament, many of us have been irresponsible promoters, and the prospect of a society composed largely of promoters was frightening. We knew we had to exercise self-restraint. Right? Symbolizes something. And I love the one which kind of goes into tradition 12 a little bit too, but one of the greatest thing, Bill, if they talk about it and pass it on, they also talk about it in here about when he gets that offer to be on Time magazine and show the back of his head and he turns it down. And he says that part. Yeah, very grandiose of Bill. And Bill's comment form, he talks about how it might have helped thousands, right? But his compromising of that principle would have a greater damaging effect than anything else. And, I always try to think, what if it was important enough for Bill, who is co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, to not have that position of being the symbol of Alcoholics Anonymous, even though, we've kind of turned him into it. We have. I mean, let's not lie to ourselves. We have done that, though. Make no mistake, we did that, not him. And that's where we are responsible to make sure that we respect it. But, and going on further about it, it talks about, where is it? Let me get down to the, in the middle of the next paragraph on there. Talks about obviously AA had to be publicized somehow. So we resorted to the idea that it would be far better to let our friends do this for us, right? Which goes into, let our friends recommend us, right? We have, and I'm going to transition into this in a second, but we have a public information. We have CPC. There is people set up and there is a committee set up to handle making sure the outside world knows about us. And not so much that they know about AA, but they have an accurate understanding of what AA is and what AA is not. And, and God willing, if those people are doing it to the best of their ability and trying to remain in line with our principles, those people who are hearing us or hearing them will be more apt to recommend us. I always want to do my best to be an adequate representation of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, try not to get ahead of myself, because I got a closer, right? And I don't want to mess up with my closer, right? And if I take on this position of being the super promoter or being the face of AA, and I you know, mess it up, I would never be able to forgive myself. Not that I'm so powerful that I will in myself destroy Alcoholics Anonymous, but if I put a blemish on AA, I would never be able to forgive myself. And that's just my alcoholic nature, right? Now that's a level of shame, you know, something I believe a standard of living I set for myself that I could not, you know, meet, that would really kind of hurt me. And ultimately, you know, well, we don't got to get into that. But, you know, so I'm going to go forward. There is, let me just see if I want to hit on this one real quick. All right. And here's one where nowadays it's kind of a weird thing, and I wish it was different. Now, on the top of page 130, it talks in AA Comes of Age. It talks about there was plausible arguments, but happily our friends of the writing profession disagreed with them, right? Reasons why people felt they should, you know, be that big promoter, right? And going down a little further in there, it says, frequently they have reminded ambitious individuals of AA's anonymity policy. They even sacrifice good stories to that end. You know, I wish it still was the same way, a little more so. And unfortunately, nowadays, we do get a lot of people who break their anonymity thinking that it's for the good of Alcoholics Anonymous, and people love a good story. You know, if it's someone famous, right, their publicist really likes to try to clean it up and make it look good for them, right? And who doesn't love a heartwarming story of someone who fell down and came back up, right? And you know, they'll say, oh, I went to ANA, and they'll be like, oh my goodness, he went to AA, that's so great. And then next week you see them on the news because they crashed their car into something, or, you know, had some kind of drunken stupor where they did something. And you know, I wish the media was still as respectful as this, as they were in the past. But there again, it's not their responsibility. It's ours, which I'll go back to in a minute. You know, and on the end of that paragraph, it says only a very few AA members are left who deliberately break anonymity at the public level. Oof, man. I wish, again, I wish that was still the case, you know? You know, over the past number of years, you know, I think about since I got sober, which, I mean, it's only been a little over 12 years, right? You know, I've seen stories about stuff about, you know, like this happened in an AA meeting, either some kind of predatory thing, or whether it be a financial predatory thing, or, you know, headhunter type things, or sexual predator type things that come out in the news about and they say AA, right? And as much as people say, well, it's that person's fault. No. It's ours. It is always our responsibility to make sure that we are carrying this message and making sure that we are letting the people in AA know that we are taking an active role in protecting AA's name, to be the guy, the respectful example of AA. And, you know, because people love to get on that stuff, man. People, I remember the first time I saw something on the internet, and it said, I left AA, and here's why it's better now. And, it, you know, it broke my heart, because I know that AA means so much to me, and I know it can help so many people. And I always worry about the person who sees that, who, you know, they read it, and they're like, oh, I don't need AA. And it might have been the thing that could have saved their life. We are responsible. Absolutely responsible. And I wish the media had a little more respect for that. But again, it's not their fault, man. It's ours. And again, I don't want to get too far off of my direction here. So, all right. We end up in a situation, right? So you got to have people talk, you know. And hold on, let me see. There's the... you know, if you got to have alcoholics talk, what are you doing? There's, you know, it talks about in speaking at non-AA meeting, right? So, all right, we got to have people. They got to go out. They got to carry the message. They got to make the public know. They got to let professional communities know. What do you do? And in the pamphlet speaking at non-AA meetings, it talks about that, and it says, you know, let me see, where am I at? At the bottom, it says, who is qualified? And it says, in seeking to carry the AA, the message through a third person by speaking at non-AA meetings, AA members therefore assume a serious responsibility. Even though they are careful to explain that they are not speaking for AA as a whole, again, even here, I am not speaking for AA as a whole. This is just the experience of one alcoholic who's trying his best to practice these principles to the best of his ability, however fumbling and bumbling I might be along the way. But, you know, like, if I'm going out to cooperate with the professional community or do public information at a school or something like that, I got to make sure that I know, hey, listen, I do not speak for AA as a whole. And then it goes on, many members of the audience will base their good or bad opinion of the fellowship on what is said and how it is said. The reaction of non-alcoholic listeners and their consequent referring or failure to refer alcoholics to AA may someday mean the difference between life and death to still suffering alcoholics. Again, I am responsible, right? Am I willing to compromise or sacrifice my desire to speak on things that we have no opinion on? Am I willing to compromise I keep saying compromise. I don't know. My words get all jumbled up. You know, am I willing to sacrifice my desire to say that we are able to help people who are, we are not qualified to help? Am I willing to just sacrifice my desire to try to be something bigger than we are? Huh. We're alcoholics who help other alcoholics. That's it. No more. You know, we're nothing grandiose, you know, nothing great, nothing fantastic. We're great for alcoholics, but we're nothing more than that. We're people who can help alcoholics because we have experience recovering from alcoholism, or active alcoholism, if you will, if you want to be particular about words. Now, there is one point I wanted to talk about, because then you get into that whole thing. Well, how about anonymity when you're doing something in that public relations public information or cooperation with the professional community? And in the CPC workbook on page 10, it goes into that, and it talks about CPC service work and anonymity break. First full sentence in on that thing, it says, when approaching CPC service work, some AA members are concerned that revealing their identity to members of the professional community constitutes an anonymity break, since the 11 tradition states that our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films, right? Okay, right. You get into that thing. Well, is it not an anonymity break if I'm going out to cooperate with the professional community, Bill, you know, or you know, as it's written, sorry, down at the end, and it talks this like three paragraphs down, and it says anonymity at the personal level, right? And it says, in language of the heart, Bill writes, it should be a privilege of each individual AA to cloak himself with as much personal anonymity as he desires. At the personal level, anonymity provides protection for all members from identification as alcoholics, something newcomers may particularly desire. However, in doing CPC or PI service work, such as giving presentations to those in a professional field, an AA member may be asked for his first and last name. This is not an anonymity break. Say what? You know, because it is not on the level of press, media, or because an AA member doing this type of service work is also doing 12-step work. However, as an AA member, if you're uncomfortable with this, then perhaps another form of service might be a better fit for you, right? So, you know, there's a necessary component in there, right? You got necessary evils. Obviously, like I said before, it's too much for me to have my last name and stuff like that on email. So I wanted to, you know, draw that back. But, you know, I'm also, you know, if I go into cooperation with the professional community, I have that right to go either way. But if I feel really uncomfortable about it, then maybe I should just not do it at all. There's tons of other options for service work. The last thing, given time, last thing I want to, talk about, and if I'm not in PI or CPC, what do I do, right? I want to make sure people get the message. I want to make sure people know that IA works. All right, great. I don't got to post my coin on the page. I don't got to put up a V or an X or anything like that. How about I just make it attractive? How about I make it attractive by trying my best to practice these principles in all my affairs? How about people see the way my family's together and they see my family happy and they see that their son, their brother is not struggling. They see that they're not always talking about how they had to get their brother out of jail or pick him up from detox or pick him up from the psych ward. Or, how about, they didn't have to put posts on the internet about our brother's missing, blah, 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 blah. How about they say, like, see pictures of me with my family and my nieces and nephews? And my great nephew laughing and like having those good joys. And those people who knew who I was before see me the way I am today. How about I make that attractive? Or if somebody doesn't, just say somebody knows me, but they didn't know me before. Maybe at one point where they ask me about drinking, and I say, oh, no, I don't drink. How about I still act like a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous who's trying to practice principles? So one day or another, if they, God forbid, have an issue with drinking, they say, how did you do it? I got a friend or a brother who can't stop. What did you do? And hopefully my actions will be speak louder than any words I could ever talk. The 2 minutes, bang, we're gonna be on this, right? So the going back to understanding anonymity, right? There's a I got some things I want to close at right here, right? And it says it right at the top of page 11, facts about anonymity in AA. And it says it is the AA's mem AA members' responsibility and not that of the media to maintain our cherished tradition of anonymity. I am responsible. Again, we like to throw that out. We like to say that because it sounds all nicey nice and makes me feel good about myself when I say I'm responsible when anyone anywhere reaches out. No, how about this? I'm responsible. Doesn't matter what the media does, doesn't matter what other people on the internet do, doesn't matter anything. I'm responsible. Am I willing to sacrifice these things for the greater good of AA? Am I willing to sacrifice for something that gave me a way of living that is infinitely better than anything I have ever experienced before? And the last thing I'll say this, and I will close out because you're probably like, all right, it's about that time. Is he going to do it? We've got 1 minute left. Oh my God, what's he going to do? So in AA Comes of Age on page 131, it says, it's the third full paragraph down. It says, this in brief is the process by which AA's Tradition 11 was developed. To us, it represents more than a sound public relations policy. It is more than a denial of self. It is more a denial of self-seeking. And again, more of a denial of self-seeking. Tradition 11 is certainly a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA, but it also implies that each member ought to become an active guardian of our fellowship and its relations with the general public. I want to do my best to guard this thing because I don't know who's coming tomorrow. And I don't know how many people are coming 50 years ago or 50 years from now. But I want to make sure that those people who do come have the same availability to have the same program and the same uncomfortable chair and horrible cup of coffee that I had when I got here. And that's all I got. I love you guys. Thank you guys for having me. It's been an honor.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.